Hello, friends. Today we're going to continue our series on encouragement. And I'm beginning this sermon today in the church garden, the courtyard. My office is right here, and the sanctuary is behind us where I filmed the beginning of this worship service. Place is important to us. It's amazing how it affects us. As a matter of fact, just seeing this courtyard may have affected you. I chose this spot to begin my sermon because there's a beauty to this place. The tree, the gardens around me. And sometimes as I'm sitting in my office, my window right next to the courtyard, Gay Holcomb or some of the other folks at the church will come and work in this space, weeding and planting and pruning and trimming, and they love being here, the folks that come and work in here. And they love sharing and blessing others with this space. Now, I have to say, gardening's never been my thing. I don't hate it, but I don't enjoy it the way some people do. I watch some people here at Bethany, and they love gardening. They love planting. They love weeding. They love the results. They enjoy all of it. My dad was one of those people. My dad absolutely loved gardening. I remember growing up that we would have enormous gardens in our backyard. He loved coming home from work. He was a school teacher. And going right to his garden and doing all the tending that he needed to do. He loved the nurturing process. He loved the growth. He loved the harvest. He loved the planning of his gardens. He loved it all. That place for him was a place of encouragement to his soul. He loved being there, and he loved taking people there. He loved taking you into his garden to show you what was growing and how it was growing, to talk about the varieties and all that was happening. Of course, that's not the same kind of garden as this is, but gardeners share a similar heart of nurturing that life and being in those places. They love it. And so it seemed like a fitting place to start talking about the idea of place, because so many of us have been confined to places and haven't been able to explore or be in places that we love. And so we've been reminded again of how important place is as we miss some of those spaces that were important to us. Some of you love going to a game where there's a stadium with thousands of people and celebrating in that space, and it does something good to your heart. Some of you love being on a golf course where there are long stretches of perfectly trimmed grass in a beautiful setting. And as soon as you step out on that golf course, it does something to you. You take a deep breath. It does something to you. Some of you love the mountains. Others of you love the ocean. I have several friends who, when they get close to the salt air and get their toes in that sand, oh, it does something to them. And so I think it's important to begin today by remembering and reminding our souls of the importance of space and place. They affect us. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Even though my office is literally right over there, I don't spend much time out here. I love it. I think it's beautiful, don't you? But this isn't really where my soul finds encouragement, as wonderful as it is. I love occasionally visiting here, and sometimes we'll even have a staff meeting or something here, but that's about as far as it goes. I find encouragement in other places, and so I want to pause and ask you the question, where does your soul, what places does your soul find encouragement? And why? And when's the last time you've been there? And are you able to get to any of them? Because I think, especially right now, that's really important. And I think when we can take people to places that bless their souls, it's really important. So we're going to make another stop in a couple of minutes here to a different place. It may be exactly where you need to be, and then maybe it isn't where you like to be. But we're going to read some scripture because it did bless somebody in scripture to the core of their soul. And I want to remind us of that and how maybe taking some simple steps right now for ourselves or those around us might deeply encourage us. Are you ready? Let's go to the next spot. Hello, friends. I'm standing just outside the church at the picnic tables near the Gaga Ball pit. And as I drove in this morning, the skies were cloudy and gray. And when I look at the forecast, it said that they were supposed to be that way all day long. But when I came out the chute, this portion, the sun is out. And the skies, well, look at them. They're beautiful. They're a gorgeous blue with an occasional wispy cloud going by. When I was a child, I used to lay down on the ground with my other friends, and we'd look up in the sky. We'd look up in the sky on a cloudy day, and we'd look at all the clouds, and we'd play that game that so many of you have played before, where we would try and guess the shape or what the cloud looked like, to try and find a dragon or a fish or anything really that a cloud looked like that we could point out to our friends. We'd spend a lot of time just laying there, backs on the ground, staring up at the blue sky. It's funny how that brings back memories. It's been years, literally years, since I've done that. And when my children were little, I did it again. I'd lay on the ground with them, and we'd point together at things, and they'd say things. But it's been some time since I got down on the ground with my kids. But I wonder as I read Psalm 8 today about whether maybe David, that shepherd boy, who wrote the Psalms, if he lay on his back and look up at the skies at night as he wrote this psalm in these words, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name, which fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. Now listen to this. When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set into place, what are we mortals that you should think about us? Human beings that you should care for them. You made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You put them in charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority. The flocks and the herds and the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that swims in the ocean currents. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Psalm 8. When David lay back and looked up into the night sky and saw the stars, the moon, the heavenlies, he imagined God placing them there. And as he stared at the wonder of it, he saw God's majesty written all over the world around him. And he was amazed and astounded. He was touched to the core of his soul. He was encouraged by a God who could do such amazing things. It was probably after one of those nights that David wrote that psalm and said, how is it that you even think about me when you can post thousands of stars in the sky? David may not have even known there were billions and billions of them. And hang this beautiful picture above me. Now I have to confess to you that there are many days I come out and it's this beautiful. And I don't always take time to look at the clouds. I don't remember when the last time it was that I did that. Or a sunrise. Or a sunset. And I am blessed by the people in my life who do. I'm blessed by people who send me pictures that they took of a beautiful sunrise or sunset and share it with me. Those small joys in life encourage me and remind me that I run past places all the time that have the opportunity, the power, the ability to encourage my soul and the souls of people around me. And yet, even knowing that, I'll still blow past it. It's amazing, isn't it? Our capacity to do that. And David in the Psalms wanted to remind us of the connection between place and our souls and how that can impact us. Not to forget it. In fact, that maybe we were supposed to be thoughtful in utilizing that connection to understand how God put it as an important place in our lives. And so I want to pause and say to you, where do you find your soul most connected to God? And why? Why is it? And when's the last time you were there? I mean, I'm not sure I would say that I find my deepest joy laying on my back, looking up at the clouds anymore. But I will say to you that I do find great joy in coming out to a place like this and sitting at a picnic table like this and just being reminded of the beauty of the creation around me and of who God is and what He does. That encourages my soul. And so, before we go to the next segment of the sermon, pause and ask those important questions that you may remember the gifts that God has given to you that have maybe been unopened recently and that are still available to you even under our current conditions and that you can bless others with. Maybe it's time to share a sunrise, a sunset. Or it's time to come out one evening and just look up at the stars. Or one afternoon and look up at the clouds and say, wow, that looks like a penguin. Or whatever it is. And allow that to affect you, to encourage you, to bless your soul. That may not touch you at all, and I'm not sure it would me, to be honest with you, but what would touch you? And how can you live into that now? One of my favorite places on earth is the woods. I love it in the woods. I didn't grow up in the woods. In fact, I didn't spend a lot of time at all there. It was really as an adult that I found my love of the woods. Now, I went camping as a Boy Scout, and my parents would take me on hikes occasionally, and my family would go to various campgrounds with tent camping. But apart from that, I didn't spend a lot of time in the woods. When I began to spend time here, I discovered one of the key elements of a place that can really touch you, and that's life. One of the beautiful things about being in the woods is to sit back and to be quiet. Many of you would take a walk through here. You'd walk through and you'd hit a hiking path and just walk through a place. And that's a beautiful way to spend a day, isn't it? I'm sure some of you go to state parks or other places to be able to do that. But I'd encourage you to go and to be in the woods and to just sit. Honestly, because of the way that I am as a person who loves to be on the move, I discovered this because I was hunting. I would sit in the woods for hours and hours and hours, really doing nothing except watching and waiting. And what I fell in love with was watching the world unfold around me, watching life. I remember one morning at about 6:30 in the morning as a coyote ran about 30 yards away from me, past me and down a ridge. I'd never seen a coyote in my life. I remember a pair of foxes playing together on a hill. I remember turkey, 20, 30 turkey, all in a flock, just kind of walking through the woods together. Squirrels chattering and playing. Snow falling softly from the sky and just landing on the leaves around me and just hearing them just ever so slightly as they landed. If you're to take a walk through a state park, you probably won't see much of that because you're on the move and and you just see whatever's happening. But if you were to stop and to watch and listen, it's amazing what you can find. I find that element is true for so many of the places that we love. There's a life-giving element to it, whatever that may be. Because you make something. Some people love being in the kitchen as they make something and it brings life and encourages them to do that. Some people like building things. Being in a workshop encourages some people. Some people like the opportunity to fashion things with their hands, like pottery, or to sew, or to knit. Some people like the opportunity to creatively make new things, even if it's technological, like a website. But I find that one key element to place is the opportunity to encounter life or something life-giving that blesses another person. And so while the woods might not be your place, what is life-giving about the places that you love, and what makes them so? And how can you make sure that you make that a bigger part of your life and a part of the lives around you? Because just as it brings life, you have the opportunity to give that to others when you share it. We have one last stop, because there's another key element we want to talk about with regard to places. I hope that you, as you reflect upon this, not only enjoy something different, but that encourages you to act. Maybe if today's a beautiful day, you get out and just take a walk. Maybe you get out into the woods. Even as I'm talking, there's a woodpecker right over here that's knocking on a tree. There are birds over here that are chirping, and the sun is setting on my back. All of these are gifts from God sent to encourage us and for us to enjoy. Our last stop is ahead. This is our last stop. It's Piney Run Park in Carroll County, a beautiful place. I know that many of you love Centennial Park with its beautiful lake. You may not have been to this one. It's gorgeous, isn't it? The sun is actually beginning to set. The park is almost about to close. They may come and throw me out. But I wanted to say something as we close about the way that a place can excite or challenge or calm or move our souls. Water is a great example, isn't it? I love a stream. I love to sit down next to a stream and allow it just to flow past me for hours and hours. We're at the beach just listening to the waves crash in. We're sitting in a place like this, at the edge of the water. There's something about water that affects us. Affects me, I think it affects so many of you as well. It has a calming presence. There are some things that get me really going, and as soon as I walk into them, they get me going. Like when I hear Matthew singing, or when I walk into a football stadium, or when I drive like a go-kart on a go-kart track. All of those things get my juices flowing. Other things calm me down. Knowing what a place does to you is important. And as we close this sermon today, I want to encourage you to use your knowledge of places to bless the people around you. It's not just travel. Travel blesses people. But traveling to a place, the right place, well, you know as well as I do how important that is. My anniversary is actually today. And I'm taking my wife out to dinner.
she picked the place, and it's going to be beautiful. As a matter of fact, when we do things like anniversary dinners, aren't we especially careful about where we go and what we do? Maybe even who we're with, knowing that it will affect us. I mean, there may have been a certain time in life when you had to go to a very inexpensive restaurant because you couldn't. But the older you get, when you have a little bit of means, you go to a place because of what it provides for your soul and your relationship and how you can share that together. Place is a gift. So I want to tell you, use it well. And this place is a gift. And if you've never been here, Piney Run State Park, I'd encourage you to do it. As we close, I'm asking you to thoughtfully consider how God can allow you to use place to bless the people around you and maybe even you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gorgeous places we've seen today. And there are many others, some of them indoors that we didn't even fully explore. But you know what a gift they are. And we pray that you would help us to use them, not only to bless and move our own souls, but to bless those around us. In Jesus' holy name, we pray the prayer that Christ taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.